time in Solomon's Song. And we're pressing right along in that song, in that book. And just in a little while, we'll be starting chapter number 7, a short chapter in Solomon. And then on to chapter 8 in conclusion. Chapter 7 got 13 verses. Chapter 8 has 14 verses. And we'll be moving right along in that. And you know, since I've started preaching through the book, I know of two other preachers that are presently preaching in the book at times, if not a great deal of the time. Of course, one of them has already preached through it. Brother Albert Brown is preaching in the Song of Solomon. We got a prayer letter from Brother Brown the other day, and he wrote at the bottom of it, "Keep on singing." And he's talking about Solomon. Keep on singing. And then Brother Sonchengraw down at Landmark is preaching in the Song of Solomon as well. And I tell you, if this book doesn't draw you nigh unto God, no book in the Bible will. Its relationship, Christ and His church, much closer really than a man and his wife. Much closer than a man and his wife. And really a tremendous, tremendous book. And I want to try to preach out of it this morning. I think I preached last week on Let's Grow Up or something like that. And we want to pick up basically the same theme this morning. I want to read verse number 11. "I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And Brother Robert, don't turn me off this morning because I'm going to need something on this for my throat, all right? And on the lapel mic when I get out away from this microphone. I'm going to need a little volume on it. If I don't, I'm going to strain my tonsils completely out. And we don't want to do that. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Our Father, I want to thank You again this day, Lord, for the good singing. It has stirred up my heart and blessed my soul. Lord, not just the singing, but to see Thy people sing in the Holy Ghost and to enjoy Your presence again in their life, in the house of God. And Lord, to experience Your Spirit working in our midst to do great things for Jesus' sake and for the benefit of people and the blessing of the church. And I pray that You'd grant liberty again this morning, that as we stand, Lord, that You'd give us the power and the liberty to preach, that You'd anoint us again with that oil of gladness. May that oil of gladness flow upon Your vessel this morning, Your servant, as I stand in this place between heaven and hell and do my best to point souls to Calvary and God's people to that place of blessing. I'd ask You to help those, Lord, that are listening from without by way of radio. Give grace to hearts in here. May the church find help and grace this morning. And we'll thank You for every soul that's blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, like I said, I believe I preached last week on around the thought on Let's Grow Up. And preached on the verse number 11 there on a little bit of church growth or Christian growth. Growing in virtue, in grace, and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to try to pick up that same theme and preach for a little while this morning on Let's Grow Some More. We've not arrived yet. It's not time to back up or let down. It's time to go on with God and continue growing in His wonderful grace and knowledge. And as we look at verse 11, I said this last week, I'll say it again. I'm convinced that both verses 10 and 11 are dealing with the growth, the maturity, and the fruit of a child of God. Verse 10 primarily speaks of our Christian growth. And then verse 11 with the fruit that we bear, but maturity and fruit bearing are inseparable in the Christian life. I want to run that by you again. Maturity and fruit bearing are inseparable in the Christian life. For if one continues to grow, he will eventually bear fruit in his life. Some 30, some 60, and some 100, but we will all bear fruit. I believe the 30, the 60, and the 100 mean the same thing as our Lord said in John 15 when he spoke of fruit and more fruit and much fruit. And some of us will never bear much fruit or more fruit, but we all will bear fruit to some degree. As the child of God develops in life, there will eventually appear a fruit also. As we grow, it's bound to be. If you plant a little tree or a vineyard and they are cultivated and watered and taken care of and pruned, as they grow and reach a state of maturity, there will be fruit on that vine or on that tree. And you and I, as we grow in and mature in the Lord and become strong children of God, there is bound to be that fruit within our life. Now, I want to mention this morning a few areas that we're to grow in, and then I want to make the application if the Lord will help me. May I say that as a Christian, you and I need to grow in grace. We need to grow in grace. Somebody said, "Preacher, what is grace?" I like the thought of the unmerited favor of God. And if grace is the unmerited favor of God toward you and I, then grace in our lives would be the unmerited favor of our love toward those that may spitefully use us. Now, I tell you, friend, it is easy to love somebody that loves you. It's easy to stay right in your heart with somebody that is right with you. But growing in grace means that we're going to have to learn to stay right in our heart, even with those that displease us. If you please, even with our enemies. Did you know the Bible said that when Job prayed for his friends, those that opposed him and criticized and mocked him, that God turned again the captivity of Job and made Job fruitful within his Christian life? Now, our Lord said in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." And so growing in grace is our ability to love beyond our means. Did you get that? Growing in grace is our ability to love beyond our means. May I say, my friend, without His grace, that we know nothing about love, and without His grace, we can know nothing about grace. But growing in grace is our ability to love beyond our means. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be?" Well, I don't really understand it, but I know that all Christian virtue in our life is there because of Calvary and because of the work of God going on in our life. And neighbor, you can mark this down. If we're saved and been saved very long, somewhere down the line, God will give us the grace and the ability to love people beyond our own means. Son, I tell you, if women have to learn to love their own children and their husbands, how much more you and I need to learn to love those that would spitefully use us and mock us and persecute us and slander us. I tell you, friend, when we're ready to hang on the cross, when we're ready to stand and revile not again those that would mock us and get in our face, then we can actually say that we've grown a tad bit in the grace of God, and there is some degree of maturity
purity within our lives. But I tell you what our response is. When we're reviled, we want to retaliate. Buddy, we want to get even. And the Bible said that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I know some folks that I'd like to wring their stinking neck this morning. In the flesh, I'd like to break their nose this morning. Oh, but the Bible said that I'm to love my enemies and do good to them that spitefully use me. And if I want God's best and God's blessing and go in grace, then I'm going to have to learn to love those folks beyond my ability and my means to love them.
That is right. I want to say, secondly, that we need to grow in knowledge. That same scripture. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something this morning. How much do you really know about the Lord? How much have you really grown? Son, it's one thing to know something about that Bible. It's one thing to quote scripture. But it's another thing entirely to know the author of that book. Paul said that I may know Him. Oh, yes. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And may I say, when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, he was not, my friend, a baby in Christ. He had been walking with God and been in and out of prison. He had seen God deliver him out of troubles and temptations. He was not a baby in Christ. But yet, it was in his heart to say that I may know Him. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you think that you have arrived and you know all there is to know about God, I'm telling you, you've deceived yourself. And I doubt if the truth of God at all is in you. I'm going to tell you, come on now. I'm going to tell you what bothers me today. Son, you can get in a preacher's fellowship or a camp meeting and start preaching against television and folks will tear the building down. Or you can preach on bullfighting britches on women and they'll tear the building down. But son, you begin to preach on the cross. Oh, and on the glories of Calvary and the blessedness of our Lord in His sacrifice and His mediatorial offices, His priesthood, and preach on the blood or the sacrifice, and some they'll look at you like a cat in a new gate. You know why? Because they're no more spiritual than pants on women and television sets, and I'm against both of them. But son, it's time that we grow some more and go on with God and get a hold of spiritual things of life and not the carnal, trivial things. It's time that we dealt with the inside. It's time we laid the axe to the root of the problem. Son, get down in the heart. Old John the Baptist said it's time that we laid the axe to the root of the tree and quit playing with the branches and do something, friend, about the root. You know, you can cut a tree, cut its branches off, make it look horrible. Just stubby branches. But if you leave that root in the ground, that tree will go on and grow. Get the root out, and there's no more tree. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend, that's the way it is with sin in our life. You can prune around on the outside. We can cut our hair right, dress right, amen to God, come to church and tithe. We can look good on the outside. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, I've seen them look good on the outside, run the aisle, jump the pew, shout to the high heavens, and then turn around on God and go back out into the world. Somebody said, what's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. The axe was never laid to the root of the tree, my friend, and they knew nothing about the Lord. They knew about the external. They knew nothing about the spirit that lived on the inside. Grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, not only know a little bit about the Savior, but we ought to know a little bit about the Scriptures. Huh? Wonder how much we're reading them.
Come on down the house, youngins. I'm going to tell you what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "And that from a child thou hast known, not known about, but thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." I'm going to tell you what that Bible will do, son. That book will make you wise unto salvation. Oh, yes, sir. Somebody said, "What is that?" That's the incorruptible Word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We ought to know something about that which has birthed us into the family of God and given us life and that more abundantly. Not that book. Are we really reading that book, the Scriptures? I'm going to tell you something else we need to know a little bit about. And I could preach all day right here on this thought. I mean, I'm talking about on the knowledge of what we're growing in knowledge. Wonder how much we know about the shepherd work of our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I want everything I see. The Lord is my shepherd. I want the world and what it has to offer. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Woo! He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And I saw something Tuesday coming back from my daddy's funeral. I'm telling you, friend, I never dreamed I'd ever see anything like it in my life. It frustrated me. It flabbergasted me. It caused me to stop and scratch my head and wonder what on earth God's trying to do in these last days. Miss Hall said, "I'd like to have ice cream cone." I said, "All right, we'll stop down the road. I'll treat you to a Dairy Queen ice cream cone. We can find one." Amen. We pulled off the I-65 at Shepherdsville exit. She said, "Yonder is a Dairy Queen. Head to it." I turned to the right, went down, turned to the left, and headed back toward the Dairy Queen. Pulled into the Dairy Queen parking lot. Got out of my van. Miss Hall said, "Honey, look over there." I couldn't believe it. There was a Mr. Gaddy's restaurant, And on the marquee, on the sign of that thing, said, "He restoreth my soul." Psalm 23:3. I said, "Hallelujah to God." I don't know who they are or what they're doing, but they must know a little bit about God. I'm telling you, friend, do you know this morning anything about the shepherd work of God? That you are the sheep of His pasture. He's brought you into His fold. Oh, yes, and He's the door to the sheepfold. That you can go in and out and find pasture. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad this morning that I've got a shepherd that leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. And yes, someday though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for my God is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah to God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo! Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then Paul said, "To Him be glory both now and forever." And he stopped and turned around and looked back at what he had written and said, "Amen!" I don't know why some of you men can't say amen. All Paul's saying is, it's true, it's true. Thank you, brother. You know what Brother Jerry just said? What the preacher said is true. I get a feeling some of y'all think I'm preaching a lie. Hallelujah. I want to say a third thing by way of introduction. That we need to grow in faith. Son, I tell you, it's time that we walk by faith and not by sight and grew a little bit. Oh, yes. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. "But we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly." You know what I thought about? I thought about Luke 5 and verse 4 when the Lord said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." I'm going to tell you, it's time, son, that we launched out into the deep. Oh, we're worrying about the little things. Yes, God, it's time that we grow up. Yes. Amen to God. And got out into the deep. Some of y'all remind me of little children with their sand buckets playing along the edge of the shore in the sand. Oh, I like to play with my sandbox. I like to play in the sand bucket. Why don't you lay your sand bucket down and put on your spiritual bikini and jump on up into the waters of the Word of Grace? Oh, yeah, get in over your head. And then we might catch it up for the glory of Almighty God. Woo! Son, there ain't nothing like it. Some of you ought to get in over your heads where you'd have to learn to trust God a little bit in your life. You'll never learn to trust Him till you get into a place or a position that you can't get out of yourself. You know how I learned to swim? My big brother said, Gary, can you swim? I said, no. He said, I'm going to throw you in that pond. I said, no, you ain't. He said, I'm throwing you in that pond. Old factory pond. I showed it. I told Brother Ricky. He said, yeah, I am. I said, I'll drown. He said, I don't think so. And he flung me out, son, just like Briar Fox flung Briar Rabbit out in that briar patch. He flung me out in the middle of that pond, son. And guess what? I floundered, flopped, swallowed a little bit of water, snorted a few times, but son, it wasn't long until I learned to dog paddle and made her back to the shore. And I'm going to say, hey, and look here. And when I got to shore, you know what I found? My big brother was standing on the shore waiting for me to get there. His name's Ernie, by the way. Hallelujah to God. What am I saying? Praise God. Let God fling you out into the pond where the water's over your head and told you to swim. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you get back to the shore, you'll find Him just like He was in John chapter number 21. You'll find Him there with bread and fish on the path. Hallelujah to God. And ready to feed your soul because of the faith that you have in Him. Woo! I feel old time religion, that is my soul today. Amen. That's right. We'll see if you'll laugh so much when we get on this next point. I'll make the application. We might shout more on this first point. Huh? I've got 3 points on the application. Huh? No, 4. I'm going to hurry on them now. Stay with me. Some areas I think we need to grow in as a church. As a church, I think we need to grow in our sight. I'm talking about how we see and what we see. How we look at things. Brother Paul said in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding. What Paul's saying, he's saying, you need to grow where you can understand some things that you just don't quite understand now. You need to get an understanding, friend, of some things. And the only way you'll ever do it is to have your eyes open. I thought about old Elisha and that servant of his down yonder in Dothan when Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was warring against Israel. And every time that the king of Syria would go up to war against Israel, he wouldn't find them where they're supposed to be. And he called in his servant and said, which one of you folks are servants of the king of Israel? And those men said, none of us, king. Said, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. Said, son, there's a man of God down yonder in Israel that knows everything that's going on about you. He's got some real understanding about spiritual things. And the Bible said that the king of Syria said, well, we'll just go down and encamp round about it. And we'll take him. I'm going to read the scripture now. And Elijah and hey, and when Ben-Hadad came, the servant of Elisha woke up in the morning and looked round about him, and all he saw was Ben-Hadad. All he saw was the enemy. I'm telling you, that's all some of you ever see, son. You need the eyes of your understanding enlightened that you might see beyond the enemy. Let God and see the help that God's got hanging around those mountaintops for you. You're watching the enemy. You're watching your troubles and your temptations and the bad things. Hey, son, hey, talk about the good times. Now listen here. Listen what Elisha said. Listen what Elisha prayed. And he answered, said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." Open his eyes. That's what I'm praying, that God will open some of your old eyes. The eye, hey, grow in sight that you might see some things that you're not looking at now. Said, "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Now I'm going to tell you, Elisha couldn't open his eyes, and I can't open your eyes. But I'm telling you, there's a God in glory that can open your eyes. Hallelujah. And here's what he said. And behold, God opened his eyes, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Where at? Round about Elisha. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm saying some of you need to grow in sight that you might see the great hedge that God's got around you. Woo! I'm about ready to jump off the platform. Hey, you know, you're looking at the enemy rather than the hedge that Almighty God has got around you. He saw the horses and the chariots of fire round about. Had him compassed in. Circled in. Son, have you ever, hey, not just chariots and not just horses, but chariots and horses and chariots of fire. That same fire that came between Israel, my friend, and the Egyptians at the Red Sea. God said, "I'll put that fire between them headed and my man." And I'm telling you, God's got a wall of fire between us and the enemy. May God open your eyes that you might see the head that God's got around you. Woo! Don't quit on me now. That guy said, "Oh." That little servant said, "All I see, my," he said, alas, master, how shall we do?" He said, "Wake up, man, we don't have a prayer." That's what some of y'all are thinking right now. We ain't got a chance. I wish to God you'd grow in sight. Huh? Be like that old drunk in that movie that they showed here years ago on Chippy. The fellow woke up and Chippy had him in a wheelbar of liquor and had a fire burning all the way around him, buddy. Huh? He thought it was the fires of hell. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is a holy fire. How did God appear to Moses? In a bush. In a bush that burned and was not consumed. I'm telling you, our God is a consuming fire. You hear me? What Elisha's saying is, what he's saying is, "I saw the presence of God that was round about me. I saw the head that God had." I've got to hurry. We ain't going to get through here today. Psalm 34:7. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver them." Angels all around me. Hallelujah to God. I wish I'd take time to tell this story. I wish I'd take time to tell this story. I can't think of his name. He took care of the children's home down at the tabernacle. But, I wish I'd think of his name. What's his name, Mrs. Hall? He's down in Texas now with Billy McLean. I can't think of his name. I'll think of it one of these days. Well, maybe when I'm preaching. But he was in tabernacle and he took all them kids, took all them little girls from the children's home out in that bus and took them to a church on Sunday morning to sing. Right. And him preach. And he said when he got done preaching, they went and eat lunch at in the church with the pastor and the people, and said they left. Said they left the church and said they was driving up that highway, and something seemed to say to him, "Dwayne Whittemore." Said, "Dwayne, stop this van." So he stopped the van, and he said, "Lord, what is it?" And he said, "Just sit here a while." Well, he said he sat there and nothing happened. He said, "Lord, I got to get to my next appointment." Said he crawled back in that van, took off up the highway, and said he heard that voice again. Said, "Dwayne, stop this van." So he pulled that van off, and he said, "Well, I'll check it." And he got out of it, looked at the engine, walked around, kicked the tires. said, Lord, said, I've got to go. And the Lord said, don't move. And so he crawled back in that van and sat down. Said he found his father and said, I'm leaving. And said about that time, something said, bang! And the tire, the front tire, blew slap out, sitting still on that van. And said he began to weep and cry and had to thank God. And God seemed to say, Dwayne, that's one of them guardian angels that's riding on the hood of this van. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, that's part of that hedge. And if it hadn't have been for that angel of God, he said, me and all those little girls would have went out to meet the Lord that day. Now, would to God that you'd grow in sight, that you could see that we're secure in the everlasting arms of God. We're under the blood. We're in the fold. We're saved by grace. We're born again. And we're forgiven of our sin. We're pardoned by grace, live by grace, walk by grace, hallelujah to God, run by God, turn by God. Oh, yes, sir, there's a hedge about us. Said Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, even so is the Lord round about His people. From this day, even forever. Hey, do you think those chariots of fire got there just at the time that that young prophet got his eyes open? It'd been there all along. He wasn't worried about them. And I'm going to tell you something else. They'll be there. If you read that story, you'll find that God opened the servant's eyes and blinded the Syrians. Come on now. He not only saw the hedge, he saw the help. He said, fear not, for they that be for us are more than they that be against us. More than they that be with them. Some of y'all ain't seen the present help of God in your life. That's why you flounder and waller and can't seem to get over the top. Oh, if you'd just grow in sight. Could see the help of God. And look here, somebody said, well, now, preacher, I don't need no help. I'm doing pretty good. You won't need help until you realize you're drowning. I've told this story so many times. Old Marlon Brock, he's dead and gone. I hope he got right with God. His wife told me at my pop at the funeral home the other night that he did. I hope he did. Me and old Marlon Brock trying to show out in front of some girls down at one of the Frankie Lake in Henderville in the forestry one day. And we had that pretty 63 Ford. I'm talking about a beauty. Boy, you talking about pretty. Woo! All them windows opened up and had it shining. We'd washed it and shined it, but it was ready. Beautiful automobile. And he said, let's swim across Frankie Lake. He's a tremendous swimmer, and I'm not. And I said, I'll give her a try. And I'm going to tell you, we as heathens, friend, but we left her pants on, a T-shirt, and her socks, and loped off out in Frankie Lake, and I got about halfway across that lake. Marlon was ahead of me. I mean, he was trucking on. I said, Marlon, I'm out of steam. And I said, I'm fixing to die in this lake. Are you hearing me? While I was doing pretty well, I didn't need no help. But son, when I felt my legs growing heavy and my body growing weak and tired, and I realized it was as far to one shore as it was to the other shore, son, I realized if I didn't get some help, I was going to drown in Frankie Lake. I said, Marlon, if you don't help me, I am dead. Sure enough, old Brock come swimming back, put his arm under me, and guess what? Son, he didn't turn me loose till I got all the way to the other shore. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I found help! Yeah. I found help! Now get a hold of this. I found help September the 13th, 1970. Yeah. And if I found help on that day, I'm confident of the same help. I will always be present in my life until I reach the other shore. Hallelujah to God. He is a present help in trouble. That means He is always available to help. He'll give you some help if you want it, by the way. He's done been a helping me, Brother Mark. Glory to His name. I thought about old Jonathan. I thought about Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14. And he went out to fight against the Philistines, him and his armor bearer. His armor bearer said, do all that's within your heart, Jonathan. So he went out against the Philistines, and the noise, they began to groan. There was a noise went up in the camp of the Philistines. And old Saul rose up and said, took account, and Jonathan was gone. And when they realized that Jonathan had put to rout the entire Philistine army by himself. By himself, him and an armor bearer. The Bible said that he took them down and the armor bearer slew behind him. I'm going to tell you what, friend. God will take them down. God will take your enemy down if you've got the courage to take the sharp two-edged sword and cut the head off once he puts them on the ground. He'll put them on the ground if you'll cut their head off. And Saul, when Saul found out that he was going to win that, he said, "Cursed be the man that eats this day." But as they went through the woods, they found, and Jonathan wasn't there to hear it, and they went through the woods of pursuing that enemy. And when they come to the woods, there was honey and honeycomb. Amen. And there, nobody would eat that except Jonathan. He never heard his daddy's commandment. And the Bible said he took his staff, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And he put the staff in that honeycomb and took his hand and put it to his mouth and ate that honey. Now listen, I'm going to try to read it if I ain't got so far on to the cane. And he said, "Whereof he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened." His eyes. He saw something, friend, that he had never seen before. He got a taste of the sweet honey of God. And I'm going to tell you all, some of you need is to get sweetened up a little bit. Smile! Smile, son, if you're saved, smile. Get sweetened up a little bit. You'd be amazed what a smile on your face will allow you to see in God. Now somebody said, "What did he..." Now look here. He saw something that nobody else saw. His daddy didn't see it. The army didn't see it. And they were... Now look here. And here's what Jonathan said. He said, "How much more, if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For had there had not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines." You know what he said? He said, if every one of you morons would have got you a bite of honey, regardless of what my daddy said, he said, "My daddy has troubled all Israel this day." And he said, "If all of you would have just got a little of that honey like I got," he said, "there would have been a great slaughter amongst the Philistines today." He said, this victory would have been a great... You know what he saw that the others didn't see? And you know what some folks see that some of you don't see? Victory. Victory. He saw a victory that that Saul and the rest of them didn't see. My goodness, I would to God that some of you could grow in sight that you might see the victory God has for you. Oh, and a blessing. Oh, I just like to preach all day, son. I feel enough. God running. I believe I got honey running around on me. Buddy, hey, look here. Somebody said, "Where was he at?" God, just give me this. I'm going to tell you where old Jonathan was at. He was in a land that was flowing with milk and honey. He had done been anointed by the Holy Ghost, found his way across the Jordan River, walked across on dry land, hallelujah, and got over into Canaan land. Oh, a land that's full of milk and honey. I'm going to tell you where there's battles to fight and victories to be won. And son, if you get your eyes open, amen, and see the hedge and the help, you can have the same victory that old Jonathan had. Amen. Amen. Hope these two men back here ain't poison. I got to have some water, buddy. You know what I think some of y'all is thinking? I think some of y'all think, "Old Brother Hall don't preach hard enough no more." Folks, we're not in a place to be preaching that hard. We're in a different place. We're not there right now. I'm capable of it, and we'll hear in just a little bit. I can still skin you up one time and down the other time. But I'm going to tell you, we ain't there. We're right where God wants us to be. He saw the victory. Now look here. A little baby, when they're born, I tell them, "Brother Mark's born," their eyes are shut. They got to get them open. They've got to grow in sight. I'm going to tell you something else. As a baby, that little baby can't walk. Little old Philip just now learned to walk. Just barely can hop. You know why? Number one, he's unskilled. And number two, he don't have the strength to carry him. And God wants us to grow not only in sight, but in strength.
in strength. Listen to what he said in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He said in Colossians chapter number 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Get a hold of that. I've done preached it here, and I can't stay all day on it. But I'm going to tell you what growing in strength will do, son. It'll give you a little patience with God. Amen. It'll make you long. It'll make you wait. Give the ability to wait on God. Be long-suffering with your fellow man, and will give you some joy while you're doing it, neighbor. Huh? Strength. I got thinking about old Samson. I'm going to tell you that, I guess as far as I know, slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, strongest man in all the Bible. The Bible said in his death, he slew more than he did in his life. Got between the pillars of that Philistine home and pushed the pillars down and killed. He died himself, but he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. But oh, how strong. And God would come upon him, that hair, that Nazarite hair that he had, is where his strength was at. And God would come upon him, and he was strong. But there was a time, listen now, I'm getting ready to make a point. There was a time when Samson, Judges 14, 5 and 6, when Samson went down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion. I'd never seen this before. But the Bible said it was a young lion that roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, and nothing, had nothing in his hand. If I understand that right, buddy, God came upon Samson in his strength, and that young lion came out against him, and he, with his bare hand, he just rent that lion like he would a little old sheep, a little goat, and went on about his business. And by the way, he came back later. Get a hold of this now. He came back later on his second trip, and there was honey in the carcass of that lion. And he reached into that carcass and took out some honey and ate it and gave it to his mom and daddy. And the moral of that story is that the enemy that you defeat in your life, there's something sweet in it that will nourish your soul for you once you whoop them. And out of death comes sweetness. And out of the death of Christ comes the sweetness of our salvation. Amen. Let's God let the devil put that in his corn cob pipe and smoke it.
Yes.
My brother told me that the night before my daddy died, two nights before my daddy died, said he was laying there in the bed and he was trying to pray and said he'd get mixed up. He didn't know anybody was around. He was trying to pray and he'd get mixed up and keep on praying. And he had in letters that big on the wall, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Had it put down yonder, had it put on his casket, buddy, so the whole family, all them lost young children of his could see. Had that put on his casket. And my brother said he was praying, but he was getting a little confused and mixed up. And said all at once he turned and looked over to that written on the wall, that sign on the wall, and he said, "Now, how do you like that?" And my brother said he felt like he told the devil, "How do you like that, buddy? Put that in your corn cob pipe, Satan, and huff it." That's free this morning. I'll get back to my thought here in a minute. But get a hold of this. He rent a young lion. Didn't say it was an old lion. Come on in the house, children. You let the lions in your life mature. Going to be real hard getting them out of your life.
Amen.
Old lions don't go down quite as easy as them young lions do. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying kill the sin that's in your life quick. Amen. While it's young and while it's tender, when it first springs up, at the old timers used to say, at the first motions of sin.
Amen.
Kill it.
Amen.
Don't let that old lion grow old, buddy. He'll tear you up. But if you'll kill him while you're young, amen. I'm trying to hurry. I want to say number three, we need to grow in our sacrifices.
Amen.
I am talking about making sacrifice for the cause of Christ. I want everybody to listen to me, please. I'll be done in just a minute. I'm talking about making sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Amen. Listen what Paul said about a man by the name of Epaphroditus. He said, Paul said in Philippians 3:18, "But I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God." I wonder if we've really grown enough to learn to sacrifice in our life for God. What Brother Paul said, he said, "Hey, it's finished." Paul said, "I've kept the faith. I've finished my course." Oh, yes. He said, "I'm now ready to be offered." I'm going to tell you something, friend. Unless you learn to sacrifice in this life and make hay, present your body. I told you I could skin a little bit that I wasn't. Hey. Until you've learned to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Paul said in Romans 12:1, which is...
Our problem is, son, we're not willing to lay down on the altar. May I say that a sacrifice never benefits the offer. It always benefits somebody else. When you sacrifice, you're trying to help somebody else. Lord's sacrifice didn't help him. He didn't need any help. But you, hey, and I know he was God, but you know one reason he could walk up Calvary and lay his life down when he comes time to, and the same reason Paul could stick his head out on that chopping block and say, "Bless God, cut her off, I'm ready." He had been sacrificing all his life. It made it easy at the end. It'll make it easy for you at the end. Old John and Betty Sam's, huh? Laid their heads down on that chopping block and let them come in the Chinese, cut their heads flap off. They said John Sam's head rolled down the hill and looked back and lit on the stump of the neck and looked back up the hill smiling at them. Them Chinese didn't have to take that. You talking about sacrifice, friend? It's got quiet now. And I could preach on a lot of things. Sacrifice in our giving, sacrifice in our time. Son, how much time do we really give to God? We'll work 8, 9, 10 hours a day, travel back with the force of work, to boot, huh? Come on now. The time traveling back with the force of work, and we want to go to church, and if the preacher ain't done at 12:15, but in the roast of the cooking, I give God all the time on Sunday morning. God, shame on us! You know why? Baptists can't sacrifice and come to prayer meetings for babies. Preacher, my body's tired. I wonder how tired his was. They humped up Calvary's hill with his entrails showing and his cross on his own back. He didn't turn around and say, "I can't do this no more, Peter and John and James. I'm tired. Besides that, I've done all I can do. And besides that, it ain't going to do no good." That was acceptable to God. Epaphroditus sacrificed. He sacrificed to give the call. What Paul needed. And the Bible said that it was acceptable to God and it abounded toward others. It abounded toward others. Hey, we ought to offer our body, the sacrifice of our body. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you bring your body to live and sacrifice holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Hey, we ought to sacrifice in our righteousness. Now, right here, if you wasn't so dead, right here's where I claim to bow. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness, Psalm 4:5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now, come on. Somebody said, "Preacher, how do we have to sacrifice in righteousness?" Come on in the house, children, I tell you. You know what these little kids are going to grow up and think? "I want to dress like everybody else dresses. I don't want to wear no long dress.
I like to wear baggy breeches. I've never in my life, and I know I'm on the internet and I'm on the air, but I've never in my life seen a time when white girls want to be like black girls and black girls want to be like white girls. And I'm not saying, and boy, too, and I'm not saying that to be ugly. Somebody said, what do you mean, Bruce? Little girls and women will lay in cannon booths until they are as black as a hunk of coal. And take people like the faggot out yonder in Hollywood, work his name, and plays the rock music.